Welcome to the Homeschool Show from North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill, and we have once again as our co-host, Rhonda Marshall.
Hey.
Doing all right?
Doing all right.
Good. You enjoying the conference?
I really love these conferences. They're so encouraging, and I learned so much.
So we're still here at the HSLDA National Homeschool Leaders Conference. And so once again, we're going to share some of our conversations with you from here. What do we have today?
Well, in our news today, we're going to encourage you to save the date for the Thrive Conference coming up in spring of 2024. So you don't want to miss those dates. And also we'll give you information about how vendors can apply to attend the conference. And then in homeschool conversations, Matthew actually had a conversation with Ann Miller, who is the executive vice president, I think, of the, or executive director of the Home Educators Association of Virginia.
Yeah, our neighbors.
Yes, very close to us. And she's going to encourage us in our discipling of our children and building relationships with our kids. And in Wisdom from the Word, Matthew's going to continue from last week from Joshua chapter 1, this time focusing on the promises that God gives parents, the courage to fight those battles that God's called us to. And in Homeschool Helps with Amanda, this week Amanda is going to continue her series on misinformation. This time she's going to clarify, what does it mean to be a homeschooler? Mm-hmm. And does this include the charter, virtual charter schools, online private schools, and students younger than 7?
Okay, starting with homeschool news, for us at NCHE, the big news is always the annual conference. It's one of the very best things that we do to equip you and to connect you and to encourage you in your homeschool journey. That's going to be next year, 2024, May 25, 26, and 27. So you want to put that on your calendar. Mm-hmm. Registration and all that isn't open yet, but you just want to save the date and make sure that you carve that out and make it a priority. So let's just think, why is it so great? I mean, why should people go to the conference?
I always loved it. I think we missed 1 year when we moved back to Missouri, but for probably 26 years, we've gone to the conference.
Yeah.
Every year, I used it as my teacher training.
Okay.
Because I needed to learn and become a better teacher to equip my kids. Also, my kids loved all the activities.
Okay.
The teen activities, from the children's activities. It's just so much fun. It feels like you're coming, like, to a family reunion.
Yeah.
And there's so much encouragement, and if you're down or if you have questions, there's people there that can answer your questions. It's just such an atmosphere of encouragement. And the thing that I've heard from so many people that have never come, and I've encouraged them to come, and they don't come, the first time they come back to me and say, I completely understand why you're so excited about this and why I'm not going to miss ever again either.
And I can't believe I missed all those years.
Yes,
don't be like that.
Don't be that person.
And I agree. I think the idea of continuing education, in the sense that no matter what you're doing, you always have to be learning. You always have to be growing and sharpening. And I think it's a real mistake when homeschool parents kind of feel like, well, I've kind of already heard everything.
I know it all.
Because number one, that's not true. And our kids are always entering a new season.
Really?
And our kids are different and they're developing. Mm-hmm. And we don't know everything. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right.
But the second thing is, we need to be reminded. Like, a lot of times I come and I have heard it.
Yes.
But I really needed to hear it again.
Yeah, the vision of why you're doing this.
So anyway, save the date and make sure that you're there. You won't regret it. It'll be really encouraging to you. The other thing that's going on right now with that is the vendor application is open. If you would like to be a vendor at the 2024 conference, you can go to nche.com and then find under events the Thrive conference page. And we'll have a link in the show notes for you to go directly to the vendor application. You have until October 31st to get a first round selection. So after that, it'll be kind of first come, first serve. But right now, you know, and as space allows, and it's first come, first serve now, but right now you get to have the best picks. So before October 31st, you want to check that out so you can be a vendor.
Absolutely. So now let's move into our homeschool conversation. And this week, Matthew talked with Ann Miller, who's the executive director of the Home Educators Association of Virginia. And they're going to encourage parents in discipling and building relationships with their children. Let's take a look. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Virginia or even at a national level, just from our conversations here, what do you see as kind of the hot topics or things that you guys are concerned about or watching?
I think one of my concerns is that the new homeschool families come to understand the actual freedom that they have in homeschooling their children, and that they don't just take the education model that we have now and bring that home.
Okay.
That they realize that the world is their classroom, and that they don't get stuck in that in the system that most of us have come out of.
Right.
And that there's so much freedom to customize our education and our children's experiences and our family experiences, and we don't want them to miss that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, another topic that has come up in this conference discussion is, why are people choosing to homeschool? And it used to be harder to choose to homeschool. Now it's easier to choose to homeschool. And one of the things that we've been talking about is wanting the new generation of homeschoolers to really think about, why are we doing this?
Yes.
From a conviction standpoint.
Yes.
Will you share some of those convictions that you think are really important for parents to consider?
Yes.
This is why we're doing this.
Yes. I know my husband and I, we decided to homeschool in 1980. Long time. I'm old. my parents homeschooled my brothers, two of my younger brothers, in the 70s and early 80s. And my husband was a public school teacher, and he saw the difference. Mm. And the Lord just convicted us that to raise our children in his nurture and admonition. Mm. And so I think it's so important for parents to understand the opportunity they have to disciple their children in their faith. Mm. Like, that is so important, because we have 8 children, they're all grown and married, and that discipleship and that relationship opportunity that we have when we spend time with our kids is, that relationship is all that's left. The education, like, everybody's worried about test scores and everything, and am I doing enough and everything, and homeschool moms, we know we never do enough. Is there any way to do enough? We just have to settle. At the end of homeschooling, I've discovered that really all you have left is the faith that you hopefully have instilled in your children. Mm-hmm. And they have to make it their own. They can't have our faith. God has no grandchildren, right?
Yeah.
He's only got children. But the relationships. So as parents, academics are important, and I was all about academics. But what's even more important is the relationships that we develop with our children. Mm. Because when they're grown and they go off and you launch them into the world and they start having families of their own and all that we have left is relationship. And so it's easy to want to get bogged down in the lessons, and the lessons are important, but what is more important than the lessons is, of course, the relationship with God, but also the relationship that we have with our children. Mm-hmm. And I know for myself, I lost the hearts of two of my children for a season, one for a short season and one for about over 3 years. Mm. And I can tell you that it's like the shepherd with the 99 sheep. He goes for the one that's lost. Mm. He leaves all the other sheep and goes after the one. And when you don't have a relationship with your children, you have no influence. And I was a pretty confident homeschool mom in a lot of ways. I knew what we were supposed to do in the Lord, and was always learning and growing. But I never felt helpless in my homeschooling years. Never. With 8 children, I didn't understand how could mom like not know what to do or not how to be helpless. And when I lost the heart of one of my children, I was there.
Yep.
I was totally there.
Yeah.
And God is faithful. He restored that relationship. I mean, this is a son who checks in on me all the time, and we have an excellent relationship, but without that relationship, there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just encourage parents to really think about their their relationship. Study your children. Find out what is their bent.
That's what I was going to ask. It may be obvious, but how can parents build that relationship? I think you're going there.
Yeah. Well, gentleness is good.
Yeah.
It's good. And to take a breath and step back. And I was the mom, like, when something would happen, I would want to remind them, like, what the Bible says. And, you know, because I was fearful. And I never, ever, ever thought of myself as a fearful person until my children were almost all grown and married.
Hmm.
Or grown anyway, not all married. And the Lord just showed me, like, I was operating out of fear.
Hmm.
And actually, yeah, with the one, especially with the one son, the Lord started showing me how fearful I was. And I was trying to exhort them, like, into godliness. And what I needed to do is put my hand around their mm-hmm. shoulder and come alongside of them. Mm. And I had to change. I had to change because they didn't want me preaching at them. And this son in particular, like, it was just preaching at him. And so I had to step back. And when I would start preaching, like, and reminding him what the Bible says,
yeah.
I could see his eyes were like lead. They would just go leaden.
Mm.
And then I would have to stop and because I could see it. And I would apologize and tell him, I'm working on changing. I don't want to preach at you. You know
yeah.
God, you know everything that you know, and I don't want to be that. I don't want to preach at you. And I would stop and I had to change myself so much that the rest of my family was amazed. So in that relationship
mm-hmm.
equation, if you will, we have to be willing to change ourselves.
Mm.
And God is refining us through our children.
That's great.
Yeah. I just want to say about relationships with your children.
Yeah.
You had asked about relationships. And I want to say, study your child.
Mm.
Do different types of assessments. We did things like love languages, strengths finders. And every time we did some kind of an assessment tool, we've done DISC. And we also did the Johnson O'Connor Research Foundation aptitude testing. It's not cheap, but for us, it was worth every penny for mm. all 8 children. And because it helps them, it's not a Christian organization, but what they do is they help you uncover the aptitudes that God has given you.
Mm.
And we're not talking about interests. That's something separate.
Okay.
This is your hardwiring. What did God hardwire you to do?
Right.
Do you have good clerical skills? Do you have structural visualization? Like, can you see things in your mind? Or do you have to put your hands on things to figure it out?
Mm.
And so they've been in research for, I think, since the 30s. And so what they have found in their body of knowledge is that certain aptitudes work really well in certain fields.
Okay.
But those kinds of things can help us in our relationship and also help us to guide our children mm. into who God created
right.
them to be. And we have 5 engineers in our family.
Mm.
And so those aptitude tests were so helpful in us being able to identify that and encourage them to use the strengths that God had given them, which was a lot of the structural aptitudes. So understanding those things can take a lot of stress and strain out of parenting. Because you're able to recognize, like, that's innate. God gave them, and it'll be a gift that He will turn for good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So those
super
assessments,
encouraging. Yeah.
Yeah.
So parents can be diligent students of their children and
yes.
equip them and empower them.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thanks, Anne. Thanks
You're
for talking.
You're welcome. Thanks
Hope
for
this
having
is encouraging
me
to all the parents.
Yep, I do too.
Good. Okay, it's time once again for Wisdom from the Word, and we're going to pick up from last week in our discussion about Joshua 1 and being courageous in the Lord. Talking about courage reminds me of when we went to the Badlands as a family. We were on a trip out west camping, and in the Badlands, of course, there were amazing views right at the edge of the cliff, right? So we would come right up to the edge where the fence would keep us from falling off into a terrible cliff, you know, of death. And we would, with wobbling knees, you know, come up to the edge. And of course, as parents, we're worried about our kids, you know, get back from the fence. Don't climb over the fence. Don't touch the fence. Anyway, so it doesn't really take that much courage just to walk up to the edge of a fence. However, what if one of my kids had fallen over the fence and, of course, didn't fall all the way down, but maybe part of the way down? Now my wobbly knees are going to really need some courage if I'm going to have to figure out how to save my kid who's in a dangerous spot way up high, because I can't stand heights. And what this reminds me of, as we talked about last week, is the reason that we are really going to need courage is because we're fighting a battle that really matters. You know, not just sightseeing, but rescuing people. And one of, just like in this story, one of the things that God has called us to do, and one of the reasons we homeschool, is because we want our children to know Jesus. We want their spirits to be submitted to them, Him. We want to be able to disciple them. And so we're even in that kind of on a rescue mission. And there are other ministries that God has called us to. So I hope you did think about what battles that God has called us to that require courage. But I just want to mention that God has given us really precious promises. That's what Peter says in 2 Peter 1. He has given us very great and precious promises that allows us to live the life that He wants us to live. And He has given us promises in Joshua 1 that give us courage. God said to Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." So there are at least three promises here that will give us courage if we will place our faith in what God has said. And the first one is that God has given us an inheritance. And we know that in this passage, God is talking to Joshua and to the Israelites. But we also know in the New Testament that it didn't end with Joshua, that the full promise is also to God's people in the New Covenant. In Hebrews 4, 8 and 9, it says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." And in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, it says, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession." So God promises us an inheritance. And what is that? It's eternal life. It's being in heaven with God forever. And so we know that when we face difficulties on this earth, that we're supposed to remember that God has given us a heavenly home, and that we are able to endure the trials and the light afflictions, as it says in Hebrews, in order to get an eternal weight of glory. And so we know that we can endure and have courage the difficulties now because of that inheritance. The second promise that God gives us is victory. And we see there in Joshua that He says, "No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life." And in the same way, in Romans 8:37, Paul reminds us, "In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." There's a whole pile of scriptures that tell us that we have victory in Jesus Christ over death, over sin, over the enemy. And we can have courage by believing in that promise when we face those difficulties. And the last promise that God gives us in this passage is His presence. He says, "I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." And we know that Jesus makes the same promises to us, like He did in the Great Commission when He told us to go and make disciples of all nations. So, we can consider these promises. But when we get to that position where we've drawn a battle line, and then we think, this might not work out, or I'm afraid of these consequences, or I might fail, or whatever it is, you know, I don't want to suffer through this. That's when we can think, but I have the precious promises of God, three things. He's given us an eternal inheritance in Christ with him forever in heaven. He has given us victory. He's promised to that we can win the battle when we have faith in him and obey. And third is that he is with me. He is the one who is with me to fight the battle. And so I'm encouraged. I remind myself of these things. I preach these things to myself so that I can fight that battle. If you're facing a difficulty, again, in your home, in your marriage, with your children, maybe you are facing other battles that God is calling you to, then remember these precious promises of God and be able to fight the battle with courage.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NCHE. We are still at the lovely Ridgecrest for the National Homeschool Leaders Conference, and I am concluding our series on misinformation today. And we are talking about misinformation. When are you a homeschool? When do you need to open a homeschool? So there's a lot of confusion out there. I think I heard somebody call it the Wild West of homeschool right now. It's really kind of murky. Are you homeschooling if your child is in a university model school? Are you homeschooling if your child is enrolled in a private online school or a public online school? Or if you pull your child out of a public school, but they're under the age of 7, do you need to open a homeschool? That's what we're answering today. So first off, let's clear up a few really confusing things. And the first way to know if you should open a homeschool or not is your child enrolled somewhere else? Are you paying tuition? Are they on the roll? Is that school receiving funding for that student? If that's the case, they are not a homeschool student. For example, many of the university model schools are private schools themselves, and you enroll your child in that school. Usually you pay tuition to that school. They determine the scope and sequence. They determine the curriculum. And if they go all the way to high school and your child graduated, they would get the diploma from that school. Therefore, you do not open a homeschool in that situation. If you enroll your child in a virtual public school, K-12, Connections Academy, all of that. If they're enrolled in the North Carolina virtual public school and it's free, they're getting funding from the state for that, then your child is a public school student, not a homeschool student. And you do not, in that situation, open a homeschool. Now, and this is where it gets confusing and why there's misinformation out there. If you enroll your child in a virtual private school, a private online academy, Penn Foster, Liberty University Academy, BJU Academy, Abeka Academy, any of those, any private online academy, even though you enroll them, you pay tuition, and sometimes those online schools would issue a diploma. The state of North Carolina at this time does not recognize private online schools because they do not have a physical office. They do not have a premises in the state of North Carolina. Therefore, legally, they are not recognized as an entity in North Carolina. So they're just a curriculum provider in the eyes of the state. Therefore, in that situation, you would open a homeschool. I know it's confusing, but that's the deal. Now, last but not least, if your child is under the age of 7, we've talked about compulsory attendance in other segments. Compulsory attendance in North Carolina starts at age 7. If you have a 5 or a 6-year-old and they're enrolled in public school and you're pulling them out to homeschool, you do not open a homeschool. No, you do not. You wait until they are the compulsory attendance age. According to the law, a 5 or a 6-year-old is not required to be in school anywhere. And I had a phone call earlier this week, and in this case, it wasn't the parent that didn't understand the law. It was the principal of the school. And the principal of the school was trying to tell this parent that they had to have an open homeschool to pull out this barely 6-year-old. That is not what our law says. So again, if you're pulling a 5 or 6-year-old out of school to homeschool, you do not, in that situation, open a homeschool. Not yet. All right. I hope that this series has been helpful to you. There really is a lot of misinformation out there, and I hope this has provided some clarity and helped clear up some of that misinformation. Starting next week, we will move on to some other great helps topics. So if you have anything that you would like help on, you would like me to address in this segment, please send it to me. My email address, that's the easiest way to reach me, is helps, H-E-L-P-S, at nche.com. I really hope this was helpful today.
So thanks so much for joining us this week. It's never lost on us that you take the time to spend time here with us. If you have any questions or feedback, we would really love to hear from you. Please email us at thehomeschoolshow@nche.com. And please help others find our show by subscribing, rating, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or YouTube. And if you think this show is helpful, please share it. I hope that it is helpful to you and gives you the information that you need. So please share it to learn more about how you can subscribe to our show as a podcast or on a YouTube. You can go to nche.com/thehomeschoolshow.
That's right. Until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.